From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, I am back, and it feels so good to be back in the driver's seat here at Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Shout out to Alex Shard for doing one outstanding job on Monday for getting you off to a very good start to the week. A lot of good discussion, and we continue that today, folks. A lot to talk about, so little time. On today's show, we will dive into the Mark D'Antonio presser. I am just getting back from Spartan Stadium, actually. D'Antonio and company had a lot to talk about on the brink of this one. Michigan State and Ohio State, the biggest, let's just call it like it is, the biggest game of the year. The biggest game of the year for MSU football, folks. Point blank simple. I'll talk about what D'Antonio had to say and so much more. We'll also talk a little Pistons action. And Top 5 Tuesday is a fun one. We have a lot of fun here on Current Sports. And this one has to deal with the top 5 movies about animals playing sports. I kid you not, it's going to be a fun list. And our phone lines will be open this entire hour, folks. But before we get to all of that, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this November 4th. All right, folks, well, here are your Current Sports quickie headliners for this Tuesday, November 4th. Well, as we speak, a special press conference is taking place at Spartan Stadium. Hall of Fame Chairman Scott Lesher and Executive Director Jim Stark introduced the Hall of Fame member and former Spartan basketball star Mateen Cleaves. Yes, Mateen is over at Spartan Stadium right now. He has announced the 2015 class for the Hall of Fame, Michigan Hall of Fame, that is. And Tom Izzo is one of them. Yes, head coach of the MSU men's basketball team. Now, the rest of the class includes recently retired New York Yankee great and Kalamazoo Rays Derek Jeter, Detroit Red Wings forward Sergei Fedorov, University of Michigan All-American and Cincinnati Reds shortstop Barry Larkin, NHL All-Star and Westland native Mike Modano, Livonia's four-time Olympian and gold medal-winning swimmer Shelia Termina, and Electa Steele. From Dearborn, the nation's first female professional bowler to reach $1 million in winnings. That's impressive. And Detroit Lions All-Pro defensive tackle Doug English, who was named in a special selection by the Hall's Legends Council. Again, a presser is taking place right now. Tom Izzo is talking about his Hall of Fame induction with Mateen as we speak. Congratulations to them. Quite a list. All right, and Russell Burge returned to the Breslin Center. Michigan State defeated the Masters College 97-56 behind 24 points from Denzel Valentine. Cleveland State transfer scored 14 points off the bench for the Spartans. Bryn Forbes the Spartans shooting 4-for-7 from beyond the arc for Forbes as well. Now, redshirt junior Colby Wollenman got a surprise start for the Spartans. Demonstration Hall Field will serve as host to the college game day site as Michigan State hosts Ohio State in the primetime matchup on Saturday night at 8 p.m. The last time these two teams met in last year's Big Ten Championship game, where the Spartans defeated the Buckeyes 34-24, it is likely that the winner of this contest will advance to the Big Ten Championship for the East. And a little tidbit about this game, this is the first ever night game in Spartan Stadium history for the month of November. How about that? Going to be an exciting time this Saturday. All right, Nick Fairley, Detroit Lions defensive tackle, has been a big part of the Lions' number one ranked defense this year, but he won't be on the field for the tough three-game stretch upcoming against the Dolphins, Cardinals, and Patriots. Now, after 2 weeks, Fairley is out due to a sprained knee injury that took place in the first half of the 22-21 comeback win over the Atlanta Falcons after Fairley and Ndamukong Suh collided on a pass rush. And now Detroit Lions coach Jim Caldwell still fairly has received a couple of opinions on his injury, but there's still no definite word on when he will return. All right, according to the New York Daily News, New York Yankees will not pursue big-time free agents, including former Tiger Max Scherzer. Well, Scherzer won the Cy Young Award in 2013 and was tied for the AL lead in wins this season with 18. Scherzer turned down a six-year, $144 million offer from the Tigers before the 2014 season. So right now he is a Tiger, but his future still looms in the clouded air. All right, the U.S. government says New York Yankees infielder Alex Rodriguez gave his cousin nearly $1 million last year to keep the secret of Rodriguez's use of performance-enhancing drugs. In court documents filed last week in Miami, federal prosecutors said Rodriguez made four wire payments totaling $900,000 between June of 2013 to September of 2013 to settle a threatened lawsuit by Yuri Sirkat, who had worked as Rodriguez's personal assistant. Naughty, naughty A-Rod. All right, the Indianapolis Colts down the New York Giants 40-24 behind four TDs from Andrew Luck. The Colts move to 6-3. Good for first place in the AFC South. Now, the Giants are now 3-5, currently in third place, in the NFC East. All right, Indiana sophomores Troy Williams and Stanford Robinson will serve suspensions to start the season because of failed drug tests, as source confirmed with CBSSports.com on Monday. With Hoosiers coach Tom Crean's confirmation of the incident, he announced that Williams and Robinson will miss four games each. And last but not least, Ole Miss wide receiver Laquon Treadwell will miss about 4 months after he broke his leg and dislocated his ankle in a loss to Auburn this past Saturday. Now, Coach Hugh Freeze is optimistic that Treadwell will return for spring practice. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick headliners for this Tuesday, November 4th. Our phone lines are open. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to talk about anything that's on your noggin. Oh boy, yes, it feels good to be back on this Tuesday. I'm so perturbed. Yeah, I'm using big words today. I'm a little perturbed that I had missed yesterday's show. But man, Alex Shark, you held it down, my man. Good discussion. I thought it was some interesting comments. Because I didn't even know Herb Street and the boys had said that. The Collins Game Day team had said that, you know, concerning Dave Brandon. Interesting stuff. Wanted to call in, but I had tuned into the show after it had aired. But good stuff, solid discussion, and thanks a lot for those that weighed in. Good comments from Apachu. I think Peter was one of them, and also Nancy, a season ticket holder for U of M. But we always disagree, Alex, and I totally disagree with your take on it. But that's what makes current sports so great, folks. We debate and give you healthy conversation, okay? Good stuff, though, my man. How you doing on this Tuesday, Alex? You all right?
Doing good, man. I'm bummed I missed the Michigan State game last night to see Russell Bird return.
Yeah, his return. You know, I mean, but hey, it's an exhibition game. I was looking at the story. First off, a classy move by the MSU men's basketball team to schedule that game. Russell Bird, a former captain of the Spartans, congratulations, Russ, who actually just brought into this world a beautiful baby girl with former MSU women's hoop star Clarissa Bell. They tied the knot, just had a baby, and, you know, that took place on Saturday. And then Russ had to hop on a flight from Cali to Michigan to play in that game for the Masters College. I saw some of the highlights. It was a very warm welcome as everybody embraced Russell and got, you know, he got a few hugs and dapped up his former teammates, and he even got to partake in kissing the Spartan logo located in the middle of the hardwood. Congrats to Russell Bird. I tell you what, and Izzo talked about it yesterday too. Russell Bird's impact extended beyond his play on the court because Russell didn't get a lot of playing time. He definitely had his share of struggles, and you remember with the injury at the very beginning of his MSU men's basketball career. But, you know, again, he was a former captain. When Keith Applin was going through his mess, you know, during the beginning of his years at Michigan State, Tom Izzo talked about how Russell Bird was really, you know, one of his confidants, you know, a guy he could confide in. And, you know, his leadership was something that went off the charts and something you didn't see in a stat sheet. So congratulations to Russell Bird. A very cool moment. But again, it's an exhibition game. So, yes, Michigan State completely rolled in it. How much can you analyze how good this team is going to be based on a matchup against the Masters College? You can't. Let's just stick call it like it is. But, hey, it's good to see basketball back. You guys know I'm a big hoop guy, so that's great stuff. But right now as we speak, Mateen Cleaves has just, held a press conference after D'Antonio addressed the media on the brink of this whole Michigan State and Ohio State football game that's taking place on Saturday. A pretty big game at that. But Mateen Cleaves announced Tom Izzo as one of the newest inductees, as you just heard on our Quicken Headliners, as one of the newest inductees of the Michigan Hall of Fame. How cool is that? I'm looking on Twitter right now, and there's a cool picture with Tom Izzo and Mateen Cleaves right before Mateen took the podium to announce Tom. That's great stuff. We always knew that, you know, Tom Izzo is a shoe-in, certainly a shoe-in for the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame, probably a shoe-in for the Basketball Hall of Fame. I mean, man, I tell you what, Spartan fans, you guys are certainly lucky to have a coach like Tom Izzo, a guy who is classy on the court, off of it, who knows about hard work, blue collar, you know, from the UP. You gotta love the man. You gotta love Tom Izzo. I'm a huge fan of the man, and certainly saw this one coming. But you know, an impressive class that he's with as well, Alex. I mean, Derek Jeter, Sergei Fedorov. I mean, my goodness, Barry Larkin. I mean, that is a very impressive class. A lot of people don't know that actually Barry Larkin's son, Shane Larkin, is playing in the NBA right now. Of course, you know, Shane was a big hoop star at the University of Miami. You know, when Miami hit that, like, real deep turning run 2 years ago, I actually got a chance to see Shane, you know, play ball. Not in person, but on my television on TNT. I believe he plays for the Bulls right now, but Shane is certainly doing his thing. So an impressive class that Izzo graces the hall with as well. That's fun stuff, folks. But, folks, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Remind you the number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Again, all the way up until 2 p.m. We'll remind you we have a great, great week of guests here on the show. Tomorrow, we'll be welcoming our current sports pal, Ernie Boone. Ernie Boone has been doing one outstanding job with the Michigan Chronicle. He's been there for years and years and years. He's going to sit down as we dissect and examine the Michigan State and Ohio State game that will be taking place on Saturday. Also, tomorrow night at 6 p.m., you guys know I tape Current Sports TV every Wednesday night at 6 at the WKRTV studios. I'll be sitting down with a guy who, his career I follow pretty closely because you guys know I'm a huge Detroit Pistons fan. His name is Lindsey Hunter. He played point guard for the Pistons for quite a while, actually, and was a part of that 2004 Detroit Pistons NBA championship team. So Lindsey will be sitting down with me. And crazy story how we met. I was actually at, I play ball when I can. And in Novi, a powerhouse gym, Lindsey plays there with his sons. And I just happened to play some pickup ball, and in walks Lindsey Hunter. And then, boom, the magic happened. We got him for Current Sports TV, folks. He's a funny guy, hilarious. He's a comedian. He's a comedian off the court, guys. If you want to get a chance to meet him and enjoy that episode, again, just simply go to WKAR.org and sign up for free online there. And we'll be playing that interview also on Thursday, like we do, to give you guys a preview of that one. And then on Friday, we'll invite Mike Cohan, as we still have, I believe, 19 local area high schools vying for that state championship still. Of course, a few were eliminated last Friday, but we still got a handful of them, more than a handful of them, and are still competing for that state championship dream. So Mike will be joining us from MLive.com to preview the week in high school football on Friday night. So exciting stuff. But first, you know, let me just talk about this presser really quick. Again, I'm just getting back from Spartan Stadium. Of course, D'Antonio, every Tuesday morning at 11:30, he holds his presser for the week to preview the upcoming matchup. And, practice is closed this week. So, again, for, the second week in a row, they had a bye week last week. But, of course, they played Michigan the week before that and practice was closed. This just shows you how big this game is because this separates, ideally, the men from the boys. Michigan State and Ohio State, two teams in the same conference within the Big Ten, competing for that number one spot to get a chance to play in the Big Ten championship game. They have the same record coming in. They have the same record coming in this matchup. Urban Meyer, I don't know if you guys saw his presser, but it was one that was intriguing, to say the least. Urban says that, yo, this is a big game. They are, they're top dog in the Big Ten, and we're trying to knock them off. And he's still feeling what happened last year. I'll never forget. Alex and I went out to cover the Big Ten championship game when Michigan State, of course, pulled that one out in Indy at Lucas Oil Stadium. And the coveted picture of Urban Meyer, if you remember, Alex, sitting down, I believe it was a golf cart, eating pizza, just looking so depressed after that game. And, I'm sure that he has dialed back, the hands of time and still remembers what took place last season, which makes this one all the more that much more interesting to watch. It's a night game, 8 p.m., Spartan Stadium. Again, the first ever night game at Spartan Stadium in November. How about that, folks? That's going to be a fun one, and I'm sure I'm sure many of you out there are going to be paying attention to the student section as well to see if the student section sticks around the entire game. The forecast looks a little rainy. Rainy and cold. It might be another duplicate of that that Nebraska game. So, yeah, some eyes will be up in the stands, but this is a big one, folks. Just to sort of capitalize what was talked about in that presser, Tywan Jones says, quote, "It feels like the playoff system starts today," end quote. Yeah, Tywan, it kind of does. It kind of does because if you look at it, you know, these are two teams, at the end of the day, they have high expectations. Michigan State playing in a Rose Bowl, an Urban Meyer coach team. Urban is always trying to vie for a national championship. This is going to, again, this is going to separate, you know, the men from the boys to see who can still have that chance of playing in that four-team playoff. Interesting stuff. JT Beard has been outstanding. And I'm the one, you know, one of the guys who kind of criticized the team saying, oh, my goodness, Braxton Miller's injured. How can this young kid, JT Beard, come in and handle all of this pressure and produce these games into W's? But he has done that and so much more. My goodness. It kind of reminds me of what took place last year when Braxton Miller, you know, of course, had his injury woes. Kenny Guyton comes in and Kenny Guyton runs the offense and they don't miss a beat. The talk about JT Beard is through the roofs. And I believe D'Antonio, during the presser, even talked about the, you know, comparing and contrasting Braxton Miller to JT Beard. And, you know, D'Antonio kind of feels like, you know, JT Beard is maybe a little bit better than Braxton Miller. That is saying a lot, folks. And the theme, there's always a theme each and every Tuesday morning on the heels of a matchup, a Saturday matchup. Today's theme, today's word of the day, folks, and will probably be the word of the week, is rivalry. Yeah, I kid you not. Rivalry, rivalry, rivalry is the word that was thrown around so many times throughout today's presser. Is the Michigan State and Ohio State matchup now becoming a rivalry? The players weighed in on it because, to be frank with you, if you pull up a Michigan State football roster and look at the players and look at where a lot of these players are from, there are many that are from the Ohio area, including starting quarterback Connor Cook, and he kind of weighed in on it as well. It was thrown around so many times, and you know, it kind of just beating the horse to death, kind of poking the bear a little bit to see if they get any response from these guys. But no, even D'Antonio was asked about it, and D'Antonio talked about how for Michigan State, we got two rivals, Notre Dame and U of M. That's it. It does make, and then he went on to say, it does make it a little bit more personal. It does add a little, you know, personal effect to it, considering the fact that there are a lot of players on this roster that are from the state of Ohio. I just won't go as far as to say that Michigan State and OSU is becoming a rivalry. There are a few out there, and you know, you brought up Kirk Herbstreit yesterday, Alex. Kirk, you know, him being an Ohio OSU guy, Kirk talked about how, no, to call Michigan State and Ohio State a rivalry would be disrespectful to the Michigan and Ohio State rivalry. So, no, they're not looking at it as a rivalry, but they, I tell you what, it's becoming very entertaining to see these two teams go at it each and every year. It's going to be a huge game, folks. Going to be a huge game. Actually, College Game Day is coming to Michigan State's campus. If you're just now tuning in and didn't get to hear our headliners, they will actually be at the new Dim Hall Field. So, demonstration field, excuse me. The new demonstration field. They will be setting up there, and Desmond Howard, Kirk Herbstreit, and the boys, Lee Corso, Chris Fowler, all of them will be there to talk about that game and so much more. So, certainly that will be a packed one as well. And there is also, to talk about the presser, get away from the rivalry talk for a sec, Mylon Hicks may be back this Saturday. Maybe. Maybe. There's a possibility. He's going to get some reps this week and go from there. But this is going to be a fun game. Going to be a fun game. Two offenses that have certainly been rolling throughout the year. Michigan State and Ohio State have two of the top offenses in the conference. And it's going to be a fun matchup. Alex, any surprises, anything you're looking forward to? Of course, we'll dive into this, more so the logistics as the week goes on. But can you really call this a rivalry? Can you really call this a rivalry?
Well, you can call it a rivalry for this year.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because I always say to me, and for me, I've always still wondered this question too. You know, what is a rivalry at the end of the day? What ingredients, if you're trying to make a rivalry here, okay, what ingredients do you throw in that pot and stir up to call it one?
Yeah, rivalry is your best competition, a rival, someone that you're competing for that might be the top competition. If Michigan and Michigan State are rivals, but Michigan is what? Well, let's say Michigan was like 0-9 or whatever, or let's look at other sports. Look at some of the rivalries that exist with other sports. Sure, it's an in-state rival, even with North Dakota State and South Dakota State. That could still be a rivalry. But if the teams aren't playing well or the records aren't great, the rivalry loses its luster, man. I don't think that it's a rivalry unless the teams are good.
Yeah, and I agree. When I talk about rivalry, the main word that jumps out to me is history. The history of the two ball clubs has to be one that is, like, again, my ingredients for the rivalry has got to be a little bit nasty. It's got to have some drama to it. It's got to have some I don't like you, you don't like me, and let's duke it out here on the field. It's got to have a little bit of that. It's got to have one that has gone a bit back and forth. It can't be completely one-sided. And it's got to have some memorable moments. It's got to have those moments where, you know, the clock is winding down and, you know, you got to make a play. To call the Michigan State and Ohio State one a rivalry, I think will be kind of going a little bit too far. Just a little bit. I just think this is a big game. A lot of implications here, this being the 4-team playoff, because these are two teams that are in that discussion. To go as far as to call it a rivalry, though, I'm just saying it's a big matchup. It's not a rivalry. There is no hate between these two. There is no hate. There is no dislike. And the history between these two, looking at it, you know, historically, the Buckeyes lead this all-time series 28-14, including a 14-5 record in games played in East Lansing. So, I think that history argument kind of goes out the window when talking about the Spartans and Buckeyes, if you ask me. I don't know. I'm not going that far. Not going that far. Folks, if you want to call in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour. Let's transition now. Let's talk a little bit about the MSU men's basketball game last night. Of course, we told you this was the return of Russell Bird. Russell Bird, a former Spartan captain for Izzo's team, has decided to take his talents to the Masters College, which is out in Cali. Didn't know what in the world the Masters College was until Russell Bird went there, to be quite honest with you. But I will say this. It's always fun. This was a classy move. And you gotta tip your hat off to Michigan State Athletics for this move, because you got a good kid here who, you know, had an up-and-down tenure with this squad as far as what he did on the court, but was certainly a staple for this team for what he did off of it. And you schedule a game like this to make sure he has a proper going-away party. And I just hats off, man. A classy move. And the one thing about it is, you know, Russell Bird is a guy who, if you ever talk to him, if you ever interviewed him, why would you interview him? I mean, you're not part of the media. For those who are listening, there may be a few out there. But for those of you, you know, who have contact with Russell Bird, you know he's one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet in your life. Just a really nice guy. And it was great to see a going-away party like he had last night. We actually have a caller right now. Tom from Lansing. He wants to talk about the rivalry. He's on line one. Tom, my man, how you doing?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Can't complain, my man.
Good. I have a comment on the Michigan State-Ohio State rivalry.
Yeah.
But first, I want to address a point that your host yesterday thought congratulations should be offered to Michigan for their win over Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't think they got enough credit for that victory, so I'm calling in to say congratulations to Michigan for beating Indiana, the worst team in the Big Ten. Congratulations to Michigan again for scoring their first touchdown in 3 years against Michigan State. So
there you go. That's kind of a quasi-congratulations. I'm sure many Ann Arbor fans appreciate that, Tom.
Yeah, so pants off to Michigan. Now, in terms of the Michigan State-Ohio State, I don't view them as a rivalry. It's not at that point yet. I agree. Rivalries take history to develop. But if you look at the Michigan State-Ohio State history, there's been at least three times, I think, where Ohio State was number one in the country and Michigan State beat them being unranked. That's the kind of stuff that you can build into a rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I do disagree with you on, you said when you were talking about rivalry between teams that there should be a certain amount of dislike.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the MSU-Notre Dame rivalry. I don't see a lot of dislike with Notre Dame. We love beating them. They're a great team to have as a rival, because your strength of a team is measured by the strength of your rivals. So I think it's a great rivalry, but I don't know that there's the dislike there that you would have with Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. So right.
Michigan State and Ohio State's had a rivalry yet. But if it keeps rolling the way it is, you know, maybe 5 years or so, maybe the dislike will be there, and maybe it will turn into an intense situation like the Michigan. But Michigan State, we still got to keep going.
Yeah.
We got to earn our rivalries instead of being given them.
Yeah.
So thanks for hearing my comments.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate the call, my man. And yeah, I definitely hear him from a dislike perspective. I just think, you know, it just adds a little more fervor when you add a little bit of dislike, when you have moments, countless moments, I should say, that have kind of gone just kind of a little ugly between Michigan and Michigan State. And to be honest, I mean, whenever you have an in-state rivalry, when you're vying to be the best team and hold the title as the best team in your state, yeah, it can get a little personal, without a doubt. And yeah, when comparing Michigan State to Notre Dame, though, I think there's a mutual respect for one another. A mutual respect, and that is more a historical rivalry between those two, the way they've gone back and forth. So I definitely hear where you're coming from, Tom. Definitely see where you're going in that direction. So, yeah, certainly, without a doubt. Folks, if you want to call in, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Well, Alex, did you get a chance to catch the game? I didn't get a chance to catch it. Of course, I was back home with the pink eye. Pink eye, you do not want one pink eye. If you've had it, if you haven't had it, it is pretty bad. But in lieu of that, I could not make my way out to the game. I had to stay home. And I was like, okay, well, they got to be broadcasting the game, right? But it dawned on me, yeah, this is an exhibition game. It's only on Big Ten Plus. The Big Ten student, you held it down. Shout out to one of our interns, Amanda. Amanda's mad at me, too. But Amanda, she did a great job with Rick Church and the crew. But, yeah, I didn't get a chance to see it. Saw the stat line. And it looks as though Evan Schilling had a good game, 3-for-3. If you want to dive more into it, Forbes, he went 5-for-10. Forbes, of course, a transfer from Cleveland State, former teammate of Denzel Valentine from Lansing Sexton. Speaking of Denzel Valentine, he went 9-of-14, had 6 3-pointers for Denzel Valentine, showing some range. Brandon Dawson, 1 rebound away from a double-double. Travis Trice with 11 points, and also Alvin Ellis with 12 points. Take that, folks, with a huge bucket of salt, because it, again, is against the Masters College, and it is an exhibition game. You're just trying to tune up the car right now. You're trying to tune up the car before you take it on the road. Am I right, Alex?
Yeah, and some of the things you take your big takeaways from the game. It was important that the guards had 0 turnovers. Trice and Tum Tum both, no turnovers the entire game. 40 minutes of basketball. So for me, you saw the turnovers haunting them a little bit last year. That was a big deal, Al. That
for
me was
every year. Michigan State has to do something with turnovers. It was a year before that, and it was a year before that. Just got to take care of the ball. I agree with you. I agree, and that's something that's going to have a target on their back every single year. But yeah,
Big loss against Nebraska last year at home.
You got to take care of basketball.
Izzo was ranting all about the turnovers,
and he does every year. I feel like every year there's one sequential rant that we air on the show about Izzo talking about turnovers. And I think they will be better at it this year. Well, I feel like I say that every year, though. So, yeah. But, you know, it's just good to see basketball back. As far as analyzing the game, again, it's the Masters College, dude. I mean, come on. But, you know, good to see players out there. I think Gavin Schilling, you know, I will say this, the starting lineup, I don't know how much this will be a window into what the starting lineup will be when the official season starts. But Wolleman, how about that? Wolleman got to start along with Ellis, Valentine, Trice, and Dawson. Surprising there. So he's clearly turning some heads
in
practice.
You know why he started, right?
No, enlighten me.
It's reported, and I think it was announced, that the reason Colby Wolleman started was because Gavin Schilling and Matt Costello were not doing what they can in the classroom to keep up.
Really? Who reported that?
This is according to Lansing State Journal.
Huh.
So as much as it's reported that Schilling and Costello needed to do a little bit better in the classroom, it wasn't about Colby Wellman being older and needing a start. It was about Izzo not playing some of his two players because of classroom performance. And I'm going to read you a quote out.
Yeah, please do.
That Izzo said. And again, this is all according to Lansing State Journal. So this probably was said. I mean, you and I both weren't there
I'm gonna follow up on this report, but yeah.
But here is what Izzo said regarding the sitting. He said, quote, "If I don't tell you the truth, you'll think it's drugs or alcohol, and it's no part of that. I'm on a mission. I'm going to make this thing the most solid, best program I can make it," end quote. So basically that was following when he said it was their classroom performance. It wasn't drugs or alcohol or anything like that. They didn't get in trouble. It's just honestly what it was. And he said that they're both smart. They're both great, great students, but they just couldn't do what they could in the classroom.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, I tell you what, Izzo's a guy that does not tolerate.
Yeah, and I love that.
Yeah, he's a guy that if you are messing around and not getting your job done and doing what you're supposed to do off the court, he's not going to play you. I mean, you saw that with, the name I'm forgetting right now, Alex. Last year, he transferred. Kenny Kaminsky, a guy who, you know, had his share of academic off-the-court issues. And, you know, Michigan State, you know, and Tom Izzo said, hey, if you're not handling your business, guess what? You're not going to play. Hey, hats off to you, Izzo. I think that's the right move. And a lot of people forget. I feel like we get so caught up sometimes in the X's and O's and to, you know, the success of the team on the court that we forget that these are student athletes at the end of the day. So great move by Izzo. If it's true, again, we're going to follow up on that. I didn't hear about that. But, yeah, if it's true, hey.
Yeah, Joe. It's actually according to Joe Rexroth, who then put it in Lansing State
Journal.
Okay,
gotcha.
And the Free
then we can pretty much confirm that then. Yep. We can pretty much confirm that then. Joe, yeah, that's set in stone then. Okay, interesting stuff. Well, I'll definitely be picking Izzo's brain about that later on in the week. And, folks, speaking of MSU men's basketball, speaking of MSU women's basketball that will be, you know, taking place later on in the week, and MSU hockey, we will be giving away home tickets to all three of those programs throughout the year, okay? You want to tune in. You're going to want to keep, you know, current sports on your radio every single day. I actually held my own kind of social media giveaway since I was at home sick, and we didn't have the tickets in the office yesterday for the Masters College. And I want to give a shout-out to, I believe his name is Vincent. Vincent Davis, he actually got the tickets yesterday to go enjoy the game. He is an avid current sports listener. Shout out to Vincent. He said he had a good time. So, good stuff. So, yeah, again, every single home game for the MSU men's basketball season, MSU women's basketball season, and hockey, we will be giving tickets away, a pair of tickets to go out and enjoy that game. So we're going to reward all you listeners out there who make this baby go each and every weekday at 1 o'clock and reward you guys with tickets. So you want to tune in each and every day to find out how to win those. Let's hit the break. When we come back, folks, we still got a lot to talk about, including our Top 5 Tuesday, which we're going to have a lot of fun with. the Top 5 Animal Sports Movies. Yeah, I kid you not, folks. It's going to be a fun one. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Something I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show. Red Wings, they are in action. They take on the Ottawa Senators. Red Wings take on Ottawa tonight in Ottawa at 7:30 p.m. The Wings enter tonight 6-2-3, and the Sens are 5-3-2. Yeah, I'm also hurting because, Alex, have you been watching the Pistons at all, man? The Pistons have been hurting my tiny little heart. They have not won yet. They'll be playing the Knicks this week to try and get back on track. But, yeah, I'm sure Stan Van, I trust in Stan so far. You know, it's the beginning of the year. They play 82 games. We're, 4 or 5 in right now. I'm not hitting the panic button at all. I'm just hurt because I've been waiting on that first win. Just waiting on that first win so I can go to my Instagram and post and feel joyous about it. But it hasn't come yet. So the Pistons will be also back in action this week as well. And J. Rue Campbell, folks. J. Rue Campbell, the former Cass Tech High School football star who body slammed a security guard, was sentenced today to 7 months in jail. 7 months is what J. Rue is getting for violating probation. Campbell as Judge Timothy Kenney, not to give up on him. He was given credit for 98 days, already served in jail, in order to attend an anger management class. It was the first of two scheduled court appearances this week for Campbell. 7 months, Alex. Man, oh, man, a kid with all the talent in the world. Got a chance to see just one of his games in high school. Kid is very talented, uber talented. Of course, Jay Rule is a former Michigan State recruit. I just hate seeing talent, frankly, wasted. He's a young kid, though. Life certainly brings many hurdles and many learning lessons. And if you don't learn a lesson the first time, you better believe the second, third, maybe even fourth time, you're going to get it. And hopefully this kid does get it. But again, Jayrue Campbell, 7 months in jail for violating probation. All right, folks. Well, it is Tuesday here on the show. And each and every Tuesday, we like to have a lot of fun. We like to bring you a top five sporting topic here on the show. And today's is going to be a very fun one. Very fun one. I came up with this idea, actually. I was racking my brain about, man, what should I have for Top 5 Tuesday? I feel like, you know, we're kind of squeezing the, you know, all the water out of the sponge right now. And I'm sitting there with my dog. My dog, little Chi-Chi, sitting right next to me. And I look at Chibale like, man, Chibale, what should our Top 5 Tuesday be? And Chibale kind of looked at me and, you know, barked a little bit. And I said, why not have the Top 5 Animal Sports Movies? There's a lot of them out there. Thanks a lot, Jabale. Here they are. It's time for Top 5 Tuesday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, Top 5 Tuesday, the Top 5 Animal Sports Movies. For all you animal lovers out there, I guess I'll start this baby off with 5. Air Bud, I believe we have a clip of Air Bud. But for those you don't know, Air Bud is a golden retriever. He's a golden retriever. You know, they're beautiful dogs, very loyal dogs. And Air Bud, you know, Hollywood went through this whole entire series of Air Bud. With this golden retriever who could, you know, he was basically, you know, like Bo Jackson or something. I mean, he could play every single sport. There was not a sport that Air Bud played, from football all the way to volleyball, folks. For me, so I'm just including, you know, all of the Air Bud movies that have ever existed. One of my favorite ones, you know, kind of one of the more crazier ones, happened to be Air Bud Spikes Back. That's one of my favorite ones. But here's one of Air Bud. I believe this is the basketball one. I believe when the kid is letting the air when the kid is letting Air Bud go and has to throw a ball at Air Bud so that he stops following him. Here's a clip from Air Bud.
You have to go, buddy. Please, buddy. Go! Get it! Go! Get out of here! Don't you understand? Get! I don't want you anymore! Get! You wanna play, buddy? Yeah, good boy. Come on, buddy. Yeah, good boy. Just like we always do.
Are you crying? I know. Go grab a tissue for your issue on that one, right? Man, that's a touching scene. A very touching scene. And so I believe that scene is kind of vague. I do remember that, but I guess 2 seconds later, he was friends with Air Bud again. That's great stuff. But yeah, Air Bud is a staple in the animal sports community. Alex, I don't know how big that community is, but he's a staple in it.
Yeah, that's my number one, man. The fact that there was a series for Air Bud, it wasn't just one movie. It wasn't like some of these other ones. It was a one-time deal.
Yeah.
Air Bud has multiple movies out. I say one of the best-selling sports animal movies of all time.
It probably is number one, without a doubt. Has he? I mean, he played everything from, I mean, He played volleyball, for goodness sake. And Jazzy, our intern, just looked at me and said, no, not at all. But, I mean, my goodness, I wonder if he played golf. That'd be impressive.
Yeah, he was a multi-sport athlete.
Yeah, they could do anything. I mean, everybody's just an athlete, man. I hope my Pistons sign him. They should have signed him a long time ago. All right, that's number five for me. What's your number five then, man, if that's your number one?
My number five, Karate Dog, man. Karate Dog. Gotta give it to Karate Dog.
I believe we have a clip from that one, right? We got Karate Dog right here, folks.
You don't know what you're doing. You're hurting everybody. Turn yourself in, now.
Never.
Daddy?
Dick Cage, you have to be stopped. I don't want to have to hurt you.
Well, that's certainly going to make this fight a whole lot easier for me.
Oh, gosh, Karate Dog. I didn't even know Karate Dog existed until I started diving into this and researching this. Have you seen the movie, Alex?
I have, man. It's wow. Not quite Air Bud, but it's, you know, John Voight, who's been in tons of movies.
That's true.
He makes the movie there.
That's great stuff. Yeah. And those of you who don't know, it's about a talking karate chopping dog who teams up with a police detective to solve the murder of his owner. Yeah, that's interesting stuff there, to say the least. Okay. For me, I'm going to go, what is this, number four now? Actually, Karate Dog is my number three, Alex. So four for me is MVP, most valuable primate. For those of you who don't know what that is, a chimp, a monkey, is sent into Canada. Is sent to Canada, actually, to accidentally, where he befriends a young boy and learns to play hockey. So you got a hockey-playing chimp.
Yeah, it's a great movie. That's actually my number three.
That's your number three.
Number three.
That
yeah.
is your number three. Nope. Yeah, that movie is pretty funny.
Newer. It's a newer movie.
It's a newer movie. Yeah. It is a newer movie. And you would not be surprised that the producers of Air Bud were behind that one as well. So there you go. Some similarities to both of those. All right, so that's
cool,
your number
man.
Three.
Yeah. My number four is a movie called Racing Stripes. Nice little feel-good movie. It's a little donkey that wants to race with the big horses.
Nice.
And he eventually does, and he overcomes a lot of hardship. There's some pretty well-known actors and actresses in that. So Racing Stripes, another newer movie, number four.
Number four. Okay, that's your number four. All right, so I said number three is MVP for me. Number two, I'm going to go number two on you.
Yeah, got to go Space Jam, man.
No, see, this is a debate I had, because, again,
you don't think
Jazzy,
it's a real sports movie?
It's not a real it's a sports animal movie.
Sports
but
animal.
I don't know if it's a real sports animal movie, because, you know, there are no animals in it. They're just cartoon animals in it. There's no real animals in it. And it's not solely based on an animal. Because you got Elmer Fudd in that. Elmer Fudd's not an animal, you know what I mean? And then you got, I don't know. There's so many different characters. And then the Monstars, they're not animals, they're monsters,
but what
really.
Other cartoon animal movies are out there with playing sports? It's the only one. So that's why
you
can't classify it in a separate category.
Yeah, but it's not really an animal. I don't know. To each, okay, Space Jam, that's definitely one of my favorite movies of all, kid movies of all time. Michael Jordan, of course, in that. There was rumored that LeBron James was supposed to star in Space Jam 2. Did you hear about that one? I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't know how good LeBron is in
the way
actor.
He started playing.
Yeah.
We'll see if he comes.
We may see. He's getting a lot of acting experience in his commercials. I feel like every time I turn on the TV, he's doing some commercial for Beats headphones, McDonald's with the Monopoly Man, everything. So I dig that. All right. Ed, for me, is number two. A monkey named Ed Sullivan. How about that name, right? Plays minor league baseball with Matt LeBlanc of Friends. Great stuff. It's a funny movie. Ed is a funny, funny movie, if you had not seen that. That's definitely up there. It was actually nominated for 3 Razzies and giving a 0% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So, yeah, I guess it wasn't that good. Maybe I'm just a dork and liked it that much. A 0 rating on Rotten Tomatoes, that's not good, folks. That's not good. But Ed is number two on my list. Alex.
Yeah, no, my number two is Space Jam, and then my number one was Air Bud. What about your number one?
Okay, I've been waiting for this number to reveal this one, because I had no idea this movie existed prior to, again, diving into this topic. For me, it is Matilda. And no, this isn't the Matilda of your childhood, where it's the little girl who's in school and goes through all these antics, raised by her family, who's, her dad's, and her mom don't like her and whatnot. No. This has nothing to do with that, Matilda. This is about a small-time agent backing a boxing kangaroo preparing to face a human opponent. I kid you not. A boxing kangaroo, folks. Listen to this.
Matilda. Matilda, where are you coming from, Matilda? Who made you? And why? Why? Why should you, the most funny-looking put-together animal in the world, have this great talent? Has the spirit of Dempsey and Sugar Ray entered your body? But why you, Matilda? Other kangaroos are in circuses and zoos and carnivals, but never, no one like you.
Oh boy, has the spirit of Dempsey and Sugar Ray entered your body? And he's talking to a kangaroo.
You've seen it? I've never seen that movie.
I have never seen this movie, never heard about
it. You've never seen it.
But still, the concept is that intriguing. How can not a boxing kangaroo, which is a real movie, not be number one? I mean, my goodness. I got to see. It came out in 1978. I just want to sit down. I probably won't last the whole movie. I may turn the thing off the first 10 minutes of it, but my goodness, why would you think of something like that? What a concept. What a concept, folks. Well, again, that wraps up Top 5 Tuesday. Let's hit the second break. When we come back, we'll talk about C.J. Mosley, the C.J. Mosley suspension, and the ever-long debate about marijuana in the NFL. Should marijuana use be illegal in the NFL? Call on up 517-355-9527. We'll debate about it coming right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Quick reminder again, Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow night, 6 p.m. at the WKRTV studios. I'll be sitting down with former Pistons guard, Detroit Pistons guard, and 2004 NBA champion Lindsey Hunter. Lindsey Hunter will be my guest tomorrow. If you want to come out to that episode, simply go to WKAR.org and sign up to be a part of that live studio audience for free. All right, folks, so if you didn't know, C.J. Mosley, he's been in a bit of trouble. He was actually suspended one game by the Lions, sat out last week's 22-21 win against the Atlanta Falcons, was reinstated on Monday, 5 days early, actually, after originally getting a 2-week ban, and is expected to start on Sunday's game against the Miami Dolphins. Now, C.J. Mosley, you know, got in trouble because he was using marijuana, smoking marijuana. Interesting parts of this story, because ESPN reported, actually, that he had also disconnected a smoke detector and possessed marijuana in the Detroit Lions London hotel. He disconnected the smoke detector because obviously he didn't want the thing to go off while he was smoking marijuana in the hotel. He says that was not true. But he's not making any excuses either. The defensive tackle apologized to teammates during a meeting on Monday when the Lions reconvened for a short practice after the bye week, and did again so while briefly addressing the media in the locker room, saying, quote, "I just want to apologize to the organization, my teammates, and to my family and the fans about what happened. I just look forward to getting back on the field, back to the grind, and back to work." First off, my initial reaction to this story, Alex, upon hearing this, was saying, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. How many times do we have to hear about an NFL player smoking marijuana and getting caught for it and getting punished for it? I remember during the summertime, we actually had a pretty elongated debate about Le'Veon Bell. Of course, former Michigan State running back getting in trouble. He was driving in his Camaro one day with him and LeGarrette Blount, who's also a teammate of his, plays running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Of course, Le'Veon is also a running back for the Steelers. There was also a female in the car as well. They drive by, you know, trying to make the plane to go and play their preseason game. They pass by a cop, windows are down, he smells a strong stench of marijuana from the car, he gets in trouble for it. And now again, if I was to go through the amount of incidences of marijuana use in the NFL, hey, I could take up 3 hours of your time. We won't do that because we only have an hour show. But this is just another instance where you got, you know, a Detroit Lion now, you know, getting caught with marijuana use. Now, it's a constant debate. I've seen it on OTL, outside the lines on ESPN. I've seen, you know, local banter here. You know, I've gotten into this debate with local media around the area, and even other personnel associated with the NFL. We even had, you know, an NFL writer for USA Today, you know, Jarrett Bell. You know, I asked him about it on the show. And, you know, it's one of those things where the reason behind what many players say they're using marijuana for is that, you know, as a football player, man, the pain that these players go through throughout the week after a Sunday matchup is, again, I'm not an NFL player, so I don't know how it feels. But, man, according to reports and according to what these players go through, it is unlike any other feeling. They go through an excruciating amount of pain. I'll never forget the report that I saw on Emmett Smith after going through, one game, one NFL Sunday. This is like, fellas, you know who Emmett Smith is. He's a former running back for the Dallas Cowboys. Emmett Smith, you know, during the later part of his career, he was taking some punishment, man, and his body was really going through it. His body started to break down. And after every NFL Sunday, Monday morning was pretty harsh on him. They showed him getting out the bed and struggling to get out the bed and dealing with pain. And, he ached all over. He would have to take an ice bath. And, you know, just you could just see it on his face what he was going through. So what a lot of NFL players use marijuana for is to help alleviate the amount of pain that they have. You know, it's one of those things where, and even my grandfather, you know, something that hits close to me is that my grandfather, when he was going through prostate cancer, my grandfather's pain was so much and that severe that the doctor had prescribed medical marijuana for my grandfather. And, you know, he used to smoke it for pain. And, you know, these players are going through such an excruciating amount of pain. The question is now being brought whether or not Goodell and company should make it legal. Alex, initial thoughts.
Yeah, man. And Time Magazine did an interesting article yesterday about all of the states across the country that are having semi-legalization votes. And fitting today, listeners,
It's election day.
It's voting
day. How did
I
not bring that up? That's crazy.
So, you know, the article from Time Magazine, there are five states this election that are passing some kind of votes on legalization. Oregon, Alaska, Maine, Washington, D.C., and I think I'm forgetting one more. But anyway, There are five states that are basically up for vote for re-election and taxing and legislation. So my initial thought here is just let the league vote on it. There has to be some kind of vote from the league. Yeah, sure, it's in the rule book. It's in the NFL rule book that it is illegal. But I'm not saying make it totally legal because
you're an NFL owner, this is the question. This is what it comes down to. What would Alex Sharg vote?
Man, I think only, like you said, if it has to be with pain, if there's some medical reasoning for it, like in C.J. Mosley's example, if he's just using it for pain, I'd say legalize it. If it's only medical usage, but anything more than that, I don't think you can, just because of what's happening federally with it right now.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree with you on it. If you're going to use it, I think the NFL should not test for it, I should say. I don't think the NFL should test for it. But if you are going to test for it, if you're going to try to put regulations on it, because, again, not everywhere is marijuana legal. I mean, right now, I think, Colorado? I mean, that's the one state that pops up in my mind that has it legalized, other than any other state. I'm not sure. But for me, because some players, to be honest with you, I mean, yeah, there are many that say, yeah, I'm having a lot of pain. I need some help with this. But I'm sure there are players in the NFL that are just doing it for casual use, just to get high. Simple as that, plain and simple. And in that regard, okay, you got to regulate it to a certain extent. So if they're going to use it, they got to have a prescription for it. Simple as that. You got to have a legit case, go to the doctor,
yeah,
the team doctor.
You need a medical card.
And be like, hey, yeah, exactly. Like, man, I'm having some pain here. Please, please, please prescribe me something to alleviate it. And then go from there. But, you know, it's something where now, and I do think as far as from the legal aspect, let's say, because I honestly think, and, you know, even our president, President Obama, has weighed on this. It's become such a big discussion. He has said that, you know, marijuana is, you know, one of those things that he believes as though it's not more dangerous than alcohol use. So, you know, with that being said, you know, the tone comes off that he is in support of it. Again, there are states that are trying to pass this law. Many people are probably maybe voting on that right now today. But it's one of those things that, again, I remember seeing, again, not only the outside the lines report, but Real Sports has done one, and there's been countless articles on it, and you see what these players go through. And, you know, football is one of those games where it's not like basketball. It's not like, you know, it's so different because you are constantly getting pummeled out there, play after play after play, week after week after week. And, you know, it kind of goes into this concussion thing, too. I mean, it is so easy to get hurt in the game of football, and your body goes through such a toll. Granted, players know what they sign up for when they play the game of football. You signed up for this. This is the game you love. This is why you play it. But at the end of the day, the repercussions and health effects that these things can have can last long term. Folks, I want to get your thoughts on it. 4 minutes left, 517-355-9527. If you want to give a quick response on it, or if you want to go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, leave us a comment. I will read it on tomorrow's Current Sports, or you can tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or at our official Current Sports Twitter page of at WKAR_sports. And I will read that live on the air because this is certainly a debate that's certainly interesting, to say the least. And I can see both sides to it. Because, again, these players go through so much. All right, Alex. Well, we wrap up this edition of Current Sports. Tomorrow, I'm excited because I ran into Ernie Boone at the press conference. Ernie will be in the studio with us to break down the Michigan State and Ohio State game, to dive into the rivalry. I'm not calling it. I'm sorry.
Rivalry?
I'm not saying it's a rivalry. Retract, to dive into. See, it's been thrown around so much this morning into this afternoon where it's like, I'm even calling this a rivalry right now. No, it's not a rivalry. Michigan State and Ohio State is not a rivalry. But to dive into the rivalry talk and to talk about MSU's chances of playing in the 4-team playoff. This is it. If Michigan State wins this game, Alex, yeah, they'll win out the season, and they have a strong, strong case. For that 14,
I don't know. I think it depends if Oregon loses one more game.
Yeah,
and
Oregon, you know, it's interesting
winning,
too. Yeah,
and I don't know. They might get the last spot.
And you know, this is being talked about nationally too, with Michigan State, and when the committee sits down. You know, reading a few reports, listening to things on the radio. I mean, you know, there are a few analysts out there who are arguing if people even really, how much will the committee remember about that game, that Oregon game? You know what I mean? Even though it was their one blemish on the record, I mean, how much weight would that loss hold now that so much time has passed? I mean, that was the beginning of the season now, you know? So, interesting stuff. But this is a big game. I think whatever team wins on Saturday and plays in the Big Ten Championship, because whatever team wins on Saturday is going to play in the Big Ten Championship and wins, that's the team that, you know, will have to really argue that, hey, we deserve to be in the 4-team playoff. But you take it day by day, you know, week by week, and you got to worry about the conference first. You got to worry about the game on Saturday, and that's what D'Antonio has been preaching all so far this week. I mean, that's what he talked about in the presser today. So we'll dive into that with Ernie Boone on Thursday. We'll give you a sneak peek preview of the Lindsey Hunter interview. You don't want to miss that. And also on Friday, we'll be sitting down with Mike Cohan of MLive.com to dive into the high school football playoffs. And again, you know, we didn't get to mention this yesterday, but I want to mention it today. Congratulations to East Lansing High School, the boys soccer team. They did it, folks. Can you believe that? Back-to-back state championships, the first time that's ever been done in East Lansing boys soccer history. Hats off to Nick Archer. We got to get that man on the show to talk about that. Wow. And we had, of course, Brent Sorg, head coach of the Williamson soccer team, on. They came just a bit short again, folks. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Tuesday, and be easy, people.